Good day, and welcome to the Indian Hotels Company Limited's Q4 and FY 2021-2022 results call being hosted by Mr. Puneet Chhatwal, Managing Director and CEO, IHCL, and Mr. Giridhar Sanjeevi, EVP and CFO, IHCL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Puneet Chhatwal. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Apologies for the delay of 30 minutes as there was some technical glitch, and the interface with the systems, not necessarily at our end. Here we are and ready to walk you through our Q4 and full year results. Let me start by the picture of Taj Exotica Resort and Spa that we opened on the Palm last month in Dubai, with maybe the longest pool in that marketplace, a 75-meter pool. This is a 325-room property, taking our total number of hotels in operation in Dubai to three, totaling 800 rooms, all on management contracts, with the fourth one scheduled to open in a couple of years, which is the Deira Waterfront development. Moving on, some awards. Travel + Leisure recognized our newly opened Taj Wellington Mews in Chennai. Some of you will recall this hotel is run by all the women professionals, from general manager to back of house, to front of house, to food and beverage, to the security services, to everything possible. Recently, the HICSA took place in April, the first week of April. That's the Hotel Investment Conference South Asia. In luxury and upper upscale hotels, Taj Lakefront Bhopal was declared the winner for the best new hotel. In the upscale, the Vivanta in Pakyong in Sikkim, and the Ginger in Visakhapatnam, in the budget and economy segment. Three recognitions in all three important segments that we operate in. Moving on to some macro views. There are certain challenges on the global GDP growth estimates, especially with the tension in Russia versus Ukraine. However, India still continues to be strong and we are expecting GDP growth north of 8% in India. I think that is quite good, definitely for our industry, not forgetting where we are coming from. As per STR, the performance has come back in towards end of March and early April above the 2019 level in terms of the RevPAR recovery. Leisure markets continue to outperform. There is strong recovery in business demand, especially led by both the national capital of Delhi and the commercial capital of Mumbai, followed by Bengaluru. As of each wave, we will see that the recovery is faster. The first wave, the recovery, as we remember, was followed by a lockdown for over several months, so the recovery took some time. With the second wave, the recovery was faster. It has gone into like a V-shape mode, and so was the case after the third wave, the Omicron, as we popularly call it. Within this, IHCL continued to outperform the industry on the RevPAR level. The industry is leading the rates and occupancy recovery at the moment, and also IHCL is still continuing to outperform. Our average rates have already reached on the domestic level on the same-store basis for hotels that were open till you know 2019-2020. We are at a 94% recovery in average rate. On the rooms per day or occupancy is 81% recovery. On the RevPAR is 76% versus industry, which stands at 65%. This is data which we have taken from you know sources like STR. Industry a leading recovery also in various key markets with the exception of Rajasthan. We are leading in all markets on all India basis, as you saw, was 65 and we were at 76. Goa, we are at 100% of pre-COVID level. And even places like Chennai are doing well. However, it is important to note the three key cities which have a huge impact in the industry getting to the pre-COVID level as of April are performing at, like Delhi at 121%, Mumbai at 118%, and Bangalore at 102% in terms of the forecast or the expectation for the actual April numbers as we get close to that in the next few days. On the industry leading benchmarks, which we will be taking you through in this call, one of the, besides the RevPAR recovery, where we are the industry leaders, I think we are also leading the industry in terms of building our pipeline for two consecutive years based on data published by HVS. So both on signing and number of keys and number of hotels for two consecutive years, I think Indian Hotels has been posting industry-leading figures with the last year getting us 19 hotels and more than 2,000 rooms added to our pipeline. As I said just now, 19 hotels were signed, but also 13 were open. And of these 13 openings, there were three with the Taj brand, two with SeleQtions, five with Vivanta, and three with Ginger. In Q4 itself, we had five signings and five openings. And we are very proud to also share that today, Indian Hotels, with its hotel business and not the homestay, along with its hotel business, covers more than 100 locations in India, more than 29 states and union territories, and has a total portfolio of 215-plus hotels. If I was to add homestay with Ama brand, then we would be north of also 215 locations in India. So we are ideally positioned and poised to support the Dekho Apna Desh campaign, which we had supported 6-8 months ago, and we are hoping to relaunch it, or we are planning to relaunch it in the next 4 to 6 weeks. In terms of our pipeline, which I just mentioned, we have 60 hotels totaling 7,500 rooms. This is also industry leading on the Indian subcontinent. And as we can see that other brands are continuing to grow, more importantly, via management contracts, as 74% of our pipeline is driven by fee-based business, 26% is non-fee-based business. That does not mean, and I want to highlight this, that these are investments. No, this 26% includes a couple of investments, but is mainly the Ginger operating leases, because that is our model, preferred model for Ginger, is to do operating leases as they drive higher margin and give us higher share of the revenue versus a management contract for hotels, which would be having, you know, reasonable or not that very big top lines. In terms of by brand, I think all brands are growing and going very strong. Obviously, Ginger at the moment on the pipeline is strong, and that is absolutely in line with our strategy. We want to stay very exclusive. We want to stay luxury focused. We want to be very selective when it comes to the crown jewel of the nation, and that's the Taj brand. And at the same time, we want to get to very quick scale with the Ginger brand. So 40% of our pipeline with Ginger is very good, and definitely this year, the openings in Ginger in this financial year should cross a double-digit number. So if that's a guidance we can give, yes, we're giving this guidance that we will definitely cross a double-digit number in Ginger for the number of hotels opened, obviously subject to no more COVID and the waves and the lockdowns or any other kind of event beyond the reasonable control of the management. Moving on, also we are industry-leading innovation through new businesses. As you're all aware, of course, Ginger – it's a name that we have had for a long time, but the whole entire brand has been reimagined, the logo, the look and feel, what we call the lean luxe positioning. And Ginger actually posted in Q4 a 96% recovery of the top line. Our aspiration is to quickly get to 100-150 hotels. And having said that, I think also our two new brands, relatively new brands, both born almost during the pandemic, 1 3 months into the pandemic, 1 3 months before the pandemic, is Qmin on the home delivery, QSR, and the food truck business is today in 20 cities. It did a GMV of 66 plus crores. Our aspiration is to increase our footprint to 25 cities this year and keep accelerating the GMV growth. On the AMA is the same. We are 80 properties today in 40 destinations, and our aspiration is to grow to 500 properties and grow our market footprint over the next 3 to 5 years. Moving on to our industry-leading new loyalty program. Yes, that I'm talking here about Tata Neu. It's off to a good start. We expect significant upside, especially for our other brands like Vivanta, SeleQtions, Qmin, and even Ginger, as and when they get, start benefiting from different promotions from Tata Neu. This is also very much in line with our strategy to transfer our loyalty to a platform which benefits from various group companies and various businesses, increasing our reach to our customers, not by doubling that base or tripling, rather over the next 3 years to have a 20x or a 30x of what we were able to achieve on our own. I think very important for us was the launch of our ESG plus CSR plus, whatever our responsible business towards nation building has been as the oldest operating company. And we have given this the name of Pathya, which stands for the path or the path that we have embarked upon, which constitutes of six P's or the six pillars in doing justice to the wastewater, in skilling of more than 100,000 youth over the next 5 years, in saving energy, in having 100% of our hotels earth check certified, going beyond the single-use plastic-free. All our hotels would be single-use plastic-free over time. And adaption or embracing the UNESCO guidelines on sustainability, on heritage, preserving heritage, contributing towards building of heritage, and also all our meetings would migrate into green meetings. So our conference business would be supported by our green meeting concept, which we have very proudly called Energize, which is giving strength to your inner self by introducing special kinds of food, special kinds of paper, pens, all the 360 degree value proposition that goes with it. A few other awards that we got recently is the India Risk Management Awards organized by CNBC, which is Master of Risk in Business Model Adaptability, Risk in Brand and Social Management, a Master's of Risk in Brand and Social Management, and a special jury citation for risk management in hospitality sector is in hospitality. They have put us in the bucket of the large cap category. In terms of our delivery, our promise to deliver, in order for me to summarize, yes, we are leading the recovery as far as the industry is concerned. We're leading the growth and the growth in our pipeline. We're leading the footprint in India. We're leading the pipeline in India. We are industry leading today in innovations in F&B concepts, in our ESG concepts, as you have seen. We are leading today with the help of Tata Neu on loyalty, and we are leading in risk management as recognized by the recent awards. Moving on to financial performance, In Q4, we did a revenue a little short of 1,000 crores, which is a 52% increase over Q4 of last year. Our EBITDA grew by 192% from 83 crores to 242 crores this year, and we declared a profit after tax of 74 crores against a loss of 91 crores for the same quarter last year. Year to date, however, the PAT is still at a loss, but it has come down significantly, like almost by 472 crores, the variation. But the EBITDA has been positive for the full year at 560 crores versus a loss of 197 crores at that level, and our revenue reached 85% of the pre-COVID level at 3,211 crores. The quarter four was also interesting in terms of if you look at the top line and which I just now mentioned, which is 955 crores, we were able to post our highest EBITDA margin in the last 10 years at 25.3%. You know, pre-COVID and 10 years almost or 8 years before that, we had been doing north of 1,000 crores in revenue, but our margins were shorter. This means our business model that we have embarked upon in separating our businesses into traditional and into new businesses, with the new ones being our efforts with our private membership club, our home delivery, our homestay, our Ginger brand, and the traditional. We have the right mix to get the best optimal figures on the absolute amount, but as well as a percentage amount, and we are better hedged going forward. Our costs, we have kept a strict control, and the total expenditure is still less by 24%. Of course, we are also at 85% of pre-COVID, but let's not forget the inflation factor. A lot of costs have increased in the last few months, given the price of fuel, et cetera. So with that, I think the expenditure, the management and the hotels and the general managers have done a good job in keeping a strict control on the costs, and our corporate overhead versus 2019-20 is still 28% less than what it used to be, despite adding so many new businesses and new brands to our portfolio. We are also industry-leading in terms of our balance sheet with the help of the rights issue and the QIP. Our consolidated net debt actually becomes a positive. So as you can, as you might have noticed, all of you, that we are 100+ cash positive now. So that is good news. We'll keep repaying as and when the debts mature and get due, whether it is a debenture or payments getting due, very soon. In Q1 and Q2, there is one payment which is due in April of next year. For that, we'll have to wait. Finally, we are very pleased to announce 23rd of May as the Capital Market Day, and on that day, we will be unveiling IHCL's strategy for the future. We embarked on this journey on, you know, middle of February 2018, when we announced Aspiration 2022, and now is the time to chart the course for the next 4-5 years. We will be sharing all those details and all that plans with you on 23rd of May, which is almost in 4 weeks from now, and we will be inviting all of you to join us, physically or digitally or whatever other medium that you might prefer. With that, I hand over to my colleague, Giridhar Sanjeevi, the Executive Vice President and the Chief Financial Officer of the company.
Thank you, Puneet. I think, moving on to some details in terms of the performance, I think this is just, this chart, is really the progression across the quarters. I think what we have seen is that there has been a steady progress across the quarters. Q4 was impacted because of Omicron in the month of January, but it is good to see that even on a lower base of 955 crores, we were able to maintain an EBITDA margin of 25% and a profit after tax of 74 crores. Next slide, please. On the standalone, The slide note. On the standalone, similarly, we had a top line of 675 crores, which represented an 89% recovery as compared to 1920. The EBITDA margin came at 36% in standalone for Q4, which represents again a very important milestone in terms of driving through EBITDA margin despite the Omicron in the month of January. And the profit after tax was 86 crores in the standalone for the quarter. In terms of the revenue recovery across the key cities, as we look at the different cities, what is very good to see is that for January, February and March, consistently the business continued to improve across all the cities actually. And most importantly, Mumbai, Delhi and Bangalore, the recovery in March 22 versus March 19 was at 84%, 79% and 94%. And those three key cities matter to us. And in April, as we pointed out earlier, it has crossed 110%. So this is something that is consistent with what the entire industry is experiencing and will continue to lead in. On the international stores, hotel chain stores, once again, we see very strong performance in markets like Dubai, where the recovery was 158%. UK came at 95%. USA in March 22 was at 58% as compared to March 19. And the other cities of Maldives, Africa and Sri Lanka did well, though Sri Lanka has of course been impacted due to the recent economic challenges. I think one of the things is that we are seeing is that, which there was a report by Morgan Stanley which we are also seeing, is that hotels are possibly offer a hedge to inflation globally because the pricing is determined by demand supply, and at this point of time we are seeing strong demand. And as we have highlighted in earlier presentations also, there is a supply impact which is definitely being seen. Of course, inflation is impacting some of our costs in terms of fuel and other costs. But overall, I think the hedge against inflation is something that we continue to see so far. And we will continue to keep track of this carefully. If you look at the domestic same store in Q4, And the gap between the difference between leisure and non-leisure, what we have clearly seen in occupancy is that the leisure occupancies continued to grow in the quarter up to 64%. The non-leisure grew to 73%, a sharp jump through the quarter. Ginger Rolls went up to 61%. Similarly, in ARR, we continued to see a bump up in the leisure ARR at 14,982. We saw the non-leisure ARR also go up with the resumption of business travel and business conferences. We are seeing the non-leisure ARR also go up. And Ginger also grew its ARRs actually. On the international geographies as well, when you look at the occupancy in the US climbed up. UK went up sharply to 62%. Dubai did very well at 80% and Maldives at 95%. On the ARR, US went up. UK has picked up. And similarly, Dubai has been better in the month of March. Maldives, of course, has also improved. So internationally also, the messaging is consistent in terms of improved occupancy and ARR. In terms of the key revenue drivers, very clearly there are three key revenue drivers for us, which is revenue recovery, the asset-light growth, and the new and reimagined businesses. Occupancy this year was about 52% overall, which represented a 13 percentage point improvement. The area at 9,717 improved by 32% and RevPAR at 5,103 improved by 76%. These are standalone 12 months current year versus previous year. On the asset-light growth, we have a total portfolio of 235 hotels, 28,000 rooms including the pipeline. New openings were 13 openings with 19 signings, and management fee was 230 crores. In fact, if you remember earlier discussions, we were earlier expecting management fee to close at around 185 to 190 crores. We are happy to report that we got 231 crores of management fees, which represents a return back to what we earned in the pre-pandemic period. In fact, we did better than that. On the new and reimagined businesses, Ginger, the portfolio of 85 hotels, Cumin in 20 cities, AMA, we have 80 bungalows, and Chambers did about 85 crores of income in terms of memberships and annual fees. On top of it, of course, is the business that they generate in terms of stays and conferences, actually. So therefore, Chambers also did well. The next chart really shows graphically the growth in management fees in Chambers. And as you see, the growth in management fees has bounced back to 231 crores, and Chambers will also bounce back to sort of 85 crores actually. In terms of some key revenue metrics, if I look at the full year, we discussed the full year, and you'll see that it has been a steady progression in terms of the occupancy, ARR, and the RevPAR actually. Q4 was slightly muted because of the Omicron impact in the month of January. Similarly, in terms of F&B room revenue, F&B revenue, and other revenue, they continue to show a steady growth action. Similarly, the revenue metrics on an enterprise basis on domestic also showed a steady growth in terms of occupancy, ARRs, and the PARs actually. Similarly, room revenue, F&B revenue, and other revenues. In terms of fixed costs and corporate overheads per hotel, the chart on the left that you can see on slide 37 in the presentation is that the fixed cost control continued. I think while the fixed costs went up from 1393 crores to 1590 during the year, driven by the increase in business, I think you will see that in, as compared to 1920, the fixed cost for hotel has dropped from 24.4 to 18.9. Similarly, the corporate overheads, which now has come down from 347 crores to 249 crores in the current year, with the oversight on additional hotels, I think the productivity has significantly gone up, and the corporate overheads per hotel has come down from 3.21 crores to 2.11 crores. Performance of key subsidiaries, I think what is good to see is that on the U.S. front, the cash loss funding in Pier came down from 164 crores in the prior year to 56 crores in the current year. St. James Court did very well in terms of recovery of performance. We came at EBITDA positive. PM Hotels was good. They were able to also get the benefit of the acquisition of Ginger shares, which they held, and therefore they came in at a small EBITDA positive. Roots Corporation today is 100% subsidiary. We have now acquired all the shares, and Roots Corporation did very well with an EBITDA of 43 crores during the year. In terms of the equity issues and the utilization, we raised 3,943 crores through the QIP and rights issues. Till date, we have paid about 2,873 crores. In the next few days, we'll pay another 500 crores or so. What will really be left is really the debt will come down to zero in all places, excepting in IHCL India, 450 crores, which was the TLTRO debt which was taken in 2020, which is an unsecured debt, which is a three-year bond. We can prepay that, but that comes at a premium at a high cost, so we are not prepaying it. These will be paid in April 23. And the balance is really debt in the UK, which will come down by 200 crores immediately, and we will continue to bring it down. And of course, in markets like UK, because of the joint venture, we don't put in monies as an intercorporate debt. We actually increase shareholding in the process. So therefore, if you look at the end use, I think part of it has gone towards growth, which is Ginger acquisition, consolidation of shareholding in CROC, and also increasing shareholding in subsidiaries like St. James Court. Cash position, this is of course as of 31st of March, it does show a high liquidity of 1,900 crores, but as the debt gets repaid, this should start coming down. I think the balance slides are really on the details in terms of standalone and consolidated, and these are in the presentation which has been uploaded both on the stock exchanges as well as on their website, actually. Now I think we are open to questions, and we can also have detailed discussions tomorrow for any follow-on questions. Thank you.
And if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name and company before posing your question. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. Go to our first question. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Chatwal and Mr. Giri. This is Nihal Jam from Edelweiss. So three questions from my side. If I notice in the presentation, as you've given the recovery and the rates also for all these markets, In fact, the rates in April for literally every location that the major cities is actually much higher than April 2019. And the increment is even more than what traditionally we've seen in normal times for the hotel sector. So the first question was, how sustainable do you think this recovery is, specifically if I have to point out, say, a city like Goa, which is, say, at 150% of pre-COVID level? So that would be my first question. I'll come to the other two after that, if that's fine.
Nihal, you know, the recovery is strong. Now, whether it's going to be 110, 115, 120, that time will tell, because it's also dependent on a lot of other factors. Having said that, let's not forget that your international traffic has not yet started. So that's a hidden upside. We might have opened the airspace and allowed people to come in, but it's not that your international business travel has picked up like it used to be at a pre-COVID level. So demand is still being very strongly driven by domestic. And with that, I think even if it was to weaken a bit, I think the international will start compensating as time goes by.
Understood. In fact, just take a related question for a city like Delhi, because for Mumbai, we are aware of, you know, what the drivers are in terms of, say, IPL and rates being strong. Specifically for Delhi, with, say, corporate travel also at this point in time not completely recovered, and still, you know, rates have touched pre-COVID for us. So what are the drivers there that is leading to such kind of buoyancy in rates?
No, I think I don't agree with you that the corporate travel has not picked up. You know, you have a lot of delegations coming in, and also Indian delegations are going abroad. So that is the really a driver that was missing for the last a year or so. And now, you know, whether it's the UK premier coming in or anybody else coming in, it brings with them a lot of other people, and they are able to pay higher rates also. So the city gets then busy and the rates increase. It's a very simple formula. The other thing that is aiding for sure is, I don't know if I've heard of a new hotel that opened recently in Delhi. So if your demand comes back and supply stays, you know, contained, obviously the rates should go up.
Understood. That's helpful. My final question was on a cost reduction target. So we have been guiding, I think, for a number of around 300 crores. I just wanted to confirm that, does that number stay, or given the inflation or our aggressive plans, we may just want to revisit that target again.
So I think what's happening on cost is that, see, I think at this point of time, I think we are seeing very strong revenue recovery. Clearly, in terms of wage inflation, there will be wage inflation for sure. And also, I think in the last 2-3 years, we have not had some wage settlements with employees, actually. So those we will need to correct. As far as the food cost inflation is concerned, our ability to pricing is definitely there in terms of increasing the revenue, the pricing on both on F&B as well as on room rates, you are able to see that. So therefore, my sense is that we will have to look at it together. And since the business recovery has come back, so my sense is that the leverage we will get in terms of managing inflation, driving top line, and managing expenses will continue. And hence, which will be better for the margins, actually.
Sure, that's helpful. I'll come back and see you at the show all the best. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we'll go to our next question. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. This is Vikas from Antique. I have two questions. First, looking at the April trend, especially for the corporate-led cities like Delhi, Mumbai, is it fair to assume we will be crossing pre-COVID revenues in FY23, provided that there is no 4K wave, or there is a lot of pent-up demand, you think, which helped April? And also, if it's possible to give the mix of corporate travel in those metro cities currently. This is my first question, sir.
Because there is a, we've I think I made that comment already 4 weeks ago that March, April, May is trending much higher than March, April, May 19. We don't see any change in that trend. Corporate is as strong as is any other social event. So people are happy to go out. People are happy to be in a larger gathering. And there are some people who still wear a mask and take the necessary precautions. But it's not like it was 6 months ago. And so partially the pent-up demand, I think, is slowly getting, absorbed. I think it's now we are getting back to the normal demand. And if you look at including your own side of business, I think a lot of your own sector companies are beginning to have events happening in the next few months because we do get an invite if we can come and be a speaker. So those events, awards events, these are all happening in person. It's not anymore digital what it was till maybe 3 months ago. So all that brings in corporate demand, and these two cities, both Delhi and Mumbai, are very important. Of course, as we all know, Mumbai is very strongly aided by the IPL, as few of the hotels are very busy because of that, and maybe that will also reflect in the rates. But I think once the demand is back, those rates will also go up. So you can expect very high occupancies in cities like Mumbai for the month of April and for the month of May.
Sure, thank you. And also, just coming back to what Nihal asked on maybe the margins. So in your opening remarks, you have talked about the cost escalation. It would be great if we can get some kind of guidance on margins for FY23. And finally, you know, the bookings to Tata Neu, what kind of, trends we are expecting there? And is there any take rate we share with the with them for the bookings? Because I understand it's one group, but is there any take rates like you share with the OTAs? Thank you. That's all.
Not really. Tata Neu is one of our biggest opportunities in the years ahead. It will take time. I mean, it's been launched only on the 7th of April, and that is exactly 20 days ago. So you have to have at least 100 days of operation to start seeing a lot of tangible results. We are on that platform because it was a closed user group since 6-7 months now. And we definitely saw the strength of the platform because it is giving you an incremental reach to a lot of customers which you otherwise don't have, especially for our newly launched or new era businesses like a Qmin or a Ginger, which will go online on Tata Neu as of June, should be very positive going forward. So I think all in all, that help as a loyalty platform is good, and we are very excited about that. And I think data needs to mature, so we would be happy to share data with you, but I think 20 days is not a benchmark. So when you launch, you promote, a lot of people are putting promotions, discounts, etc. I think it will become more relevant when it has stabilized over a few months period, so that you can see what are the visible trends and how many enrollments have actually happened, at what million you are, how many people have you been able to transition to that platform who were already your members. So a lot of that work is happening as we speak. So kindly bear with us for another at least 60, 70, 80 days. Let's give ourselves at least 100 days to give you any form of guidance or outlook. But for us, it has to be more positive than it was. So for us, it's a superior reach than what we could have done on our own. That's what we can say today.
Sure, sir. And finally, this one was for Giri, sir, on any FY23 margins, anything which you can incremental we talk about?
See, what we can say is that when it comes to margins and that kind of guidance, you'll have to be patient till the 23rd of May. We will do it together on the Capital Market Day, and we will announce the strategy. Having said that, you know our company well, and you've been seeing what we did in Q3. You can see what we have done in Q4. You have a certain, thing about the margins, and belonging to the group we belong to, and given a 120-year history as the oldest operating company of the group, I don't think we have any kind of tricks there to increase margins. So actually, we are very proud and very happy that we have consistently grown margins, and then came COVID, and then we all went, into lockdown and was a problem. But since things have started opening up, we have re-embarked on that journey. And it's mainly driven through a lot of efficiency. See, when we announced Aspiration 2022, we were at 17% margin on the EBITDA level, right? And we were a portfolio of 150 hotels. Today, we are at 235 hotels portfolio with obviously 16 pipeline. But our corporate overhead is reduced by 28%. And last year, even it was higher than that. So, and we have more brands and we have more businesses today. So I think that itself should give you, based on the actual figures, some idea of what that means.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
We'll take our next question. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sumanth here from Motilal Oswal. My question, can you hear me?
Yes, Sumanth, we can.
Yeah. So my question is regarding management contract. Can you talk about for FY23-24 or next 3 to 5 years, what is the run rate of opening management contract room for X of Ginger in a standalone booking?
So I think we have always guided Sumanth on management contracts that we have been opening around at least 2,000 rooms. That has been the kind of opening that. And I think what we have been happy with is the pace of recovery of business, and therefore the management fees in 22 March has now come back to around 231 crores. I think we have guided earlier on July 7th that the management fee could reach about 350 crores. But I think on 23rd March, once again, we will give you better clarity in terms of where the trajectory is, where we believe that our pipeline is growing, our ability to open hotels is growing, and with the recovery of business, we believe that the potential to drive this is clearly there. So just wait till 23rd to give you a full guidance on how this will grow, actually.
What we can definitely say so much is that, Sumanth, what I will just add to what Mr. Sanjeevi said is that we'll definitely open more hotels this financial year than we opened. Last year we opened 13. You can count on at least anything between 18 to 22 hotels to open this year. A minimum of 18, maximum of 22, everything on either a management contract or on an operating lease.
Okay. So what is total number of management room in standalone as on March
2022? March 22, the number is 231 crores. Management fees, yeah.
No, I'm talking about number of rooms, sir.
Number of rooms, okay, one second, Ashok. 7604, okay, 7604.
7,600 approximately managed rooms.
Yeah, what is the Ginger in that?
1,100.
Okay, got it. So, next question regarding Sea Rock, can you update on that?
Yes, also that we will provide a more detailed update on the Capital Market Day. But as you all know, we now are 100% shareholders, and we have started working on the development plan for Sea Rock together with the city authorities and the government. Hopefully we will get some decisions in the course of this financial year.
Okay. Sir, can you talk about the pent-up demand in leisure segment? Are we seeing a pent-up demand in business segment in coming quarters?
Yes, we are. Whether we call it pent-up or a strong demand or a strong recovery, there is recovery. As we said before, you know, one of the reasons why we have chosen 23rd of May is not for any other thing except the fact that we could not get a decent sized hall to hold a Capital Market Day in the city of Mumbai.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. This is Adhidev here from ICICI. My first question is on, now that hotels are fully opened up, how is the employee rehiring and your staff to room ratio? You had highlighted some numbers last year of what you expected to sustain at. Is there any change to those numbers? To hire the new employees, are you having to pay them more, or how is the wage inflation trending for the new hires? That's the first question.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, see, what's happening is that, in terms of manpower, very clearly with the resumption of business, I think there is definitely hiring happening. We have not yet rolled out any new increments at this point of time, but that will happen now. What we're also working through is that in the last three years, some of the wage settlements with unions have not taken place in a number of hotels. Those are also being worked through. In terms of cost of hiring, I think, not seen any noticeable increase in terms of cost of hiring per employee. I think that's what I would say at this point of time, actually.
Okay.
There is huge activity by people.
See, we did not, unlike other companies, we have not asked any of our full-time employees to go.
Okay.
There is, however, having said that, there is a challenge in the global hospitality in general and also in certain countries in particular, because a lot of people seem to have left the industry. If a fear was inculcated in people that, by going to hotels or restaurants, you get, you know, COVID, and that's why these places have to stay shut, I'm sure a lot of people were forced by their families to leave this job and take on alternative jobs. We are seeing those challenges, especially in cities like London, because of Brexit, because of COVID, because of other reasons. We think that a majority of our room to staff ratios will be maintained, not because people were taken out or not added in contractual or fixed term contract because of business, rather by changing the business model itself at a hotel level. The way we operate hotels today, the way the organization structure is evolving, is addressing an organizational need and an optimization for the future. A lot of customers have also evolved after the pandemic, and they do not expect a lot of that kind of service with five people or four people standing around you or around your table, and people have got used to a bit more privacy. Also the consumer behavior is evolving. I think all that together should help the industry, not just us as a company, to redefine the business model.
Okay. Sir, second question is on the management fee income of 231 crores for the year. Sir, could you on a like-for-like basis, could you tell us how much would that figure be? This excluding the new hotel openings or the amã management fee income.
Okay. I think can we respond?
Next slide.
Yeah.
We have a. I think that number, you have to look at it as almost 80%-85% coming from the previous, you know, on a like-for-like basis. Because when you open new hotels in low business, that does not immediately give you fees. There are certain exceptions to it, like our hotel in Rishikesh, in Shimla, in Goa, in Darjeeling, which were in leisure destinations, which started off very well. But you don't open a new hotel and suddenly that it takes time to ramp up. So I think the majority of the fees, almost more than 200 crore of the 231, is from the like-for-like portfolio.
Sure, sir. Just last question, now that we are a net debt free company or a net cash company rather, and assuming things stay well and good for the coming quarters, how are you using to utilize the excess free cash flow which you will generate? Any clarity on the same?
No, I think as far as free cash flow is concerned, we will certainly, I mean, clearly, very clearly, we don't want to get back into a borrowing situation at this point of time. I think, in terms of utilization, I think what we, the key projects that we are executing are Ginger Santacruz, the continued completion of the Taj Mahal Delhi. We are doing one block in London, in terms of renovations. So some of these key projects will definitely continue. And in terms of renovations, I think there are some other, like Chambers in Bangalore is the other project that we're looking at. So we will continue to focus on renovations which help, in terms of doing it. So I think, we don't anticipate, too many. It's not going to be a case that we have a significant amount of cash which we don't know what to do with. So we are being judicious in terms of using it. And of course, the projects that we have spoken about, like Shiroda in Maharashtra, we will have to start spending money at some stage. Kevadia in Gujarat is the other project where we will start spending at some stage. So I think all those are in planning. So really, it's being deployed towards growth-related initiatives and renovations in different parts of the enterprise.
Scaling up new businesses.
Scaling up. And scaling up new businesses.
Okay. So is there any CapEx figure you'd like to share for the coming year? Any budgeted CapEx figure which you would have chosen on?
See, usually the CapEx is what we said, always around 4% of the top line. And, if you are coming out of the pandemic, you can increase it to 5 or 6 if things are going fine. But as Mr. Sanjeevi said, it's all really dependent on those one-off projects, that we will work upon as a renovation, but also on asset monetization. We would try to keep that number, with the exception of a one-off investment here or there, to within those levels of 5%-6%.
Okay. Fine, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
We'll go to our next question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So this is Aishwarya Agarwal from Nippon India, and my question is, I seek your view on the supply side, because I understand the new supplies takes time, and if there is a gap between demand and supply, and then there is a high occupancy, and hence the tariff also goes up, which is highly beneficial for the hotels. So I just want to understand your view for the next 3 years perspective, which I assume is the time for the new hotel to erect. So that is it, sir.
Yeah, I think that should help. The supply will remain constrained, except for what is already under construction. Those kind of projects will get completed with delay or without delay. But, you know, the sector, with what it has gone through, will have issues, and with those issues, it will be very difficult to get funding for new supply in the short to medium term. So I think in the next 2-3 years, demand should clearly outpace supply.
Sure, sir. And do you have any estimate in terms of what kind of occupancy and the tariff we should anticipate probably after a year or 2 years? It's a very difficult question, but if you have anything in mind, that will be very helpful. At least I am not able to figure out
the answer. Can you repeat the question? What kind of?
Yes, sir. What kind of occupancy and the tariff you expect in next 1 year? Because I am not able to get the answer of this question.
I don't think anybody can give. I think what you have to do is in such cases get third parties who do this industry benchmark like HVS, Horworth, Hotel Evate, a lot of such companies that do this, STR, those kind of trends. We use the same. You know, it's not that we don't use that. We also use those kind of information. And then against that, we benchmark how we are doing. That's how we are able to show what is our market share, how much are we doing better than the market. And they are experts in doing this. For us as listed companies, if we start giving guidance on we think the occupancy will be X percent and the rate will be Y, it becomes a challenge. So that's why I think we have to use advisory groups to get that, or a JLL or a CBRE or a whatever you want to use. And all these kind of companies, they do that all the time. That's their business, and our business is to focus on running hotels and outperform the guidance which is given by advisors and try to gain more market share.
Sure, sir. And one last question is, what could be the potential lead indicator which suggests that there is a tight, there is a gap between demand and supply and the things will be really moving northward?
The lead indicator is when you have to call a few hotels to get a room, or when you reach a hotel and then unfortunately there is no room, although you have a confirmed booking. How often that happens, that is the kind of statistics that one has to get.
I guess here the booking.com and these websites will be very helpful to see how the things are. It is a very readily available.
So you can benchmark it, let's say today, 27th of April. Just make your own portfolio of 10 hotels on one of these websites. See if you book on a certain date, what rate are you getting? And after 10 days, try the same. And then you will see the delta.
Sure, sir. This is really helpful and wish you best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, for questions, that is star one. And if you find that your question has been answered, please press star two to remove yourself from the queue. And we'll go to our next question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. This is Achal from HSBC. So I had a couple of questions, actually. So first of all, could you please discuss a bit about the pickup in the different business segments? So interestingly, you said that you did not get the hotel, the room or the ballroom for the meeting. So is that a kind of an indication that there is a strong pickup in the MICE business? In terms of marriages, how do you see the marriage? Do you see the fat marriages coming back, or do you think the marriages still staying the smaller size marriages in terms of F&B business? So if you could please discuss a bit about the pickup in the different businesses, that would be very helpful. That's my first question, please.
See, there is what is happening is leisure is still demonstrating resilience at a high level because leisure has been working very strong. But what has happened is corporate business is coming back. The MICE is coming back. The weddings are coming back. Now, the difference in the consumer behavior is not a 1,000, 2,000 people wedding happening that often as it used to happen before, but you could have a wedding which is divided over several days of functions of 50 or 100 or 200 each. So That part is definitely there. It is happening and will or should be reflected in the results. As you can see, we have announced our results. If you discount for the month of January somewhere and a slow pickup in the first few weeks of February, whatever numbers that you're seeing, the majority of that, you know, 60%-70% has come in the last 6 weeks of the last quarter. The 4 weeks of this month are stronger than April 19. So it cannot be just coming from leisure, because the markets which have really gone up very strong in the last 6-8 weeks for us, and that are relevant for us very strongly, are Delhi, Mumbai and Bengaluru.
Is it fair to assume, Puneet, that you know, the demand has picked up, and you know, and strong in all the cities. On the cost side, you're doing good. I mean, at least, you know, versus pre-COVID level, you have restructured cost, and the costs are now lower than pre-COVID level. So, is it fair to assume that your profits this year should be higher than pre-COVID levels? I mean, unless there is some challenge, and if you don't think so, do you see any challenge other than the potential of fourth wave?
See, we can't predict the fourth, fifth waves and the impact of it. All we can say is that we will continue to strive for excellence in our operations, enhance our revenue to the extent possible, optimize our spend, which was the definition of reset, continue to work on effective asset management, and remain thrift and financially prudent. This is what we have been doing. This is what we'll continue to do. And based around all these factors, we will announce our new roadmap for the next 4 to 5 years, which is not far away, which is on the 23rd of May.
Right. Putting very quickly, since all the restaurants are open now and people prefer to walk in, has that impacted your Qmin business?
Yes, it has. But what we have done is in the sense that, you know, you have to move. And what we did was, when we started Qmin, it was the food from mainly the food from different restaurants. So what we have done several months ago is we have introduced the comfort food element, which has nothing to do with the restaurants. We have introduced the same through our flight kitchen business with the brand Anuka. So we are also in the Qmin with also the value segment, and not just dependent on the restaurants. When we launched Qmin on 25th of June 2020, it was limited to those restaurants, because that's what best we could have done then. So there has been an evolution in the Qmin brand. The number of orders are still being maintained. The average per order, because it's not restaurant food, has gone down. But our continuous focus and expansion on the Qmin QSR, which we recently did in Bengaluru, and also on the Qmin food truck, is actually helping drive superior sales than they were during the pandemic.
Right. Okay. One question I have on slide 31. You are showing the difference in the occupancy levels in different brands. One thing which is very surprising, and I could not understand really, you know, that you are showing there is a significant difference in the occupancy levels between your own Ginger properties and on the Ginger properties on the management contract. So why such a big difference? I mean, for the customer, Ginger is Ginger, right? I mean, so what is the why such a big difference, and what exactly are you trying to say here? What message are you trying to pass on this?
Yeah, I said the locations in my view, actually. It really depends on locations in terms of how the occupancy of
Some of the managed Ginger properties were closed during the pandemic, but that's not really important. The important part is our owned or leased Ginger hotels are like in Goa, in Bengaluru, or like, let's say, even Agartala, where there is hardly any other supply. So they tend to benefit. And one of the key learnings which we have had from the managed Ginger properties is that in difficult locations, you know, it's very difficult to drive business the way it is. You know, in Mumbai, you can do 10, 15, 20 Gingers and it doesn't matter. So as we'll be opening our 371 rooms Ginger this financial year in Santa Cruz, the revenue of that and the occupancy of that will cross all the charts here. So that's how it is, because there is a huge gap in the key metros and the kind of rates and occupancies you achieve there versus in sometimes in tier 2, 3, 4 markets. If you're the first branded hotel in tier 3, tier 4, you benefit a lot. But when the second branded, off property, the third branded property comes in and the demand doesn't grow in the same proportion, does not matter in India or anywhere else in the world, then the occupancy and the rates get stressed. So typically you tend to own or lease in key markets which are brand enhancing, which give your brand more visibility. So that's why they show higher occupancy. And on the rate side, you will see the gap is not as big. It's really the occupancy part, which is significantly higher. And that too, it's really the 3 months, it's a Jan, Feb, March. And I don't think it's a snapshot of the full year. This slide 31 is restricted to 3 months, of which 1 month was COVID. And then within that, which were the cities that recovered in which states in the end? So that is a detail we can take on offline and deep dive into it. But mainly it's driven by Ginger, you know, in Panjim, Ginger in Dona Paula, Ginger in Madgaon, all three Gingers in Goa, the Ginger in Bangalore, in all these key markets where it is doing very well.
Right. Sorry, last two quick questions. Very quick.
And also sorry, I forgot to tell you, even in the new Gingers in Bhubaneswar or in Patna, etc., you know, it's very nice properties for all these cities, so it tends to do very well. The Vishakhapatnam, the latest property that we have opened. So there is also that kind of dynamics in this kind of capital cities, commercial or state capital.
Right. Fair enough. Two very quick questions. On the C-ROC, of course, you spoke very little about it, and you are intending to speak on your capital market day. But, you know, just quickly, have you got any partner yet? Or if you don't get any partner, how would you manage it? I mean, would you start investing in this property? What will be your strategy? And second question is that in the last quarter, actually, this message was very clear, not from India Hotel, but from everyone, from Chalet or from Lemon Tree or whatever it is, that message was very clear that people are ready to spend more, and hence the premium properties, the high-end properties are actually benefited out of that change in behavior, and of course India Hotel, the big brands, India Hotel was definitely one of the beneficiaries. So now, have you seen that continued, or is there any change in that? Thank you.
I can only agree with the colleagues from the other companies in what they said. People have not had much opportunities in the last few years to spend the discretionary spend, whether it is on hotel stays or it is in buying goods or other services, the willingness to spend is there as long as you feel safe and secure. So obviously anything premium is more in demand, and it doesn't matter. In whichever segment people go, they are looking for premium and not for price driven only.
Okay, and about C-ROC?
C-ROC, I think we have been very clear that we don't intend to put more money into this project at this point of time. So I think that position continues, Shell, actually.
But then, if you don't get any partner, what will be your strategy? I mean, would you continue to wait?
No. Sorry, I do. You know, we belong to a very large group. We have partners within the group also, which are possible. We are, it's step-by-step process. Our first step is to get approvals from the city from all perspectives. and that will take some time, and we are on the drawing board and are drawing the plans, and once we are ready, we will approach the city, which we have already approached. We have taken their wishes into account, whether it's with the urban development or it's with the BMC or it is with the tourism minister or tourism secretary. You know, it's a lot of people or a lot of stakeholders who are involved. It's also the you have to take care of the environment, you know, all the other factors that come with it, your CRZ, there are so many regulations. So all that is being worked upon as we speak, and we are very hopeful and are very focused to find that solution within this year. We did not want to go for that last year till we had 100% control of the property. Now we have 100% control, so it is us in the front.
Thank you so much, and wish you all the good luck.
Thank you.
Can we sort of have another 5 minutes, please? Maybe the last one or two questions, and then if any follow-on questions are there, we can speak tomorrow.
Go to our next question. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is Deepika from JP Morgan. two quick things from my side. Firstly, I just wanted to understand, in the US business, it seems that the loss has increased in the fourth quarter. So just mainly wanted to understand, is there any shift in the cost structure for the US property?
Fourth quarter traditionally, Deepika, has always been the low quarter in terms of business. And so the pattern that we have seen is really consistent with that. This year, as you know, and at least 31st March, as you know, the banquets are also not operational because the banquet renovations were taking place. So I think what will happen in the current year is that you will see business come back, both in terms of rooms as well as banquets. The F&B services also will come back, actually. And so I think we will, so that's the way we look at it. So we expect
Basically, there is no change, the cost restructuring that you have taken over the past couple of years, that remains, right? There is no change to any of the fixed costs coming back in the U.S. property.
In terms of the core efforts, it is not really, there is no change at all, actually. There's no change.
No, on the contrary, actually, we have a reduction in the cost because, again, change in the business model. We have reduced the size of the ballroom. We have given back the additional space, which was from our neighbors, the Barneys, back to them, which has reduced our fixed lease rental with them. So, and given the challenges you have with the F&B service staff in New York, that reduces our cost, labor cost, also on that front. So the U.S., a lot of work has been done. Let's see when the business comes back, how the P&L will then start shaping up. From a cost point of view, we have done a lot of work and used the pandemic time to optimize it to the level that we could.
Understood. That's very clear. And just lastly, on balance sheet, I think I missed it. What is the total aim, the debt reduction in the next year?
Total aim
to reduce debt. I think there will be only one big piece of debt left, which is only due in April 23, which is around 450 crores.
Yeah. And UK.
And
UK will probably remain at around 250, 300 crores. I think those,
which is 25, 30 million pounds for a property that is worth 200 million pounds. So that's what we have, and but we are not going to add debt. If at all, we'll keep reducing it and use the surpluses or cash available, as we said earlier on another question from one of your other colleagues, to scale up our new businesses.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for that, and all the best.
Thank you. If it's okay with everyone, can we close the conference now and then take questions tomorrow, please? I think... I think we can.
You have to ask our moderator.
Yeah, I think thank you for participating. I think we will close the conference now.
Thank you everyone for joining.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.